Hola, hola, buenos días.
Good morning, what's up?
This is your host, Isela Martin, with Laura with Isela.
Y Gabriela.
1440 a.m. Yes, it's Thursday again.
Again. I feel like these weeks are flying by way too fast.
I know.
Way too fast.
Cada miércoles.
I was like, oh my gosh, I was changing the calendars on my desk at my job, and all of a sudden I like looked in. I have my little folder, right, where I cut them all out, and right. There was only one left, and it said December, and I was like, excuse me? I was like, I only have four things up. I'm like, it's literally going to be December in about four months.
So you're thinking like that in 3 months, you're going to be Christmas shopping. In 3 months.
Even less, because, you know, they start bringing stuff out for, like, the pre-Black Friday, which doesn't even exist anymore, because I think I heard a commercial the other day about, like, Black Friday in July. I was like, excuse me?
I'm like, do I get like a 4 or 5 month return policy on this thing? Because, yeah, you know you're going to walk into that store, what is that, January 1st, and then they're like, you bought this in July. Yeah, but you told me it was pre-Black Friday.
They didn't like the gift.
Right.
What am I supposed to do now?
I know. It has to be one of those non-returnable gifts, you know, un fruit basket. Hey, maybe
a toaster. Hey, I did just get a new apartment for anyone that wants to give you a nice housewarming gift.
There you go. Pre-Black
Friday.
Oh, my goodness. Es uno de esos días where it's kind of like a little slow. There's no sun up yet, and it's been a little gloomy. So, you know, I wish everyone allá más al norte the best luck. Y prayers are going out. I know that, you know, sentimientos y que prayers no llegan. But you know what? Honestly, I do believe in that.
Of course.
Yesterday, I got some really, really, really great news. More to come on that, but I'm not going to spoil it for now. Tonight, we have a MVUSD meeting. So please, school board meeting, open to the public. So vengan, tienen alguna comentario or anything you'd like to say tonight at the school district.
Yeah, and they can meet Rosana Musetti, right?
Yes. Doctora Rosana Musetti.
I read this meme the other day that said, why this doctor didn't take her husband's last name. And she's like, did he get a doctor's degree? I didn't think so. I'm going to keep my last name. Which I thought was hilarious.
Oh, my goodness.
But
I know.
Hey, power to everybody out there with some doctorate degrees.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, women, Latinas, mm-hmm. out there doing big things.
Oh, yeah.
I know that we had our very own Hank Hardister right here from the studio doing some big things. He has his Grind podcast right here on 1440 AM every Saturday starting at 8. It's like a cool little comedy segment, but he just signed off with Compadres, the Rio Grill right there next to Walmart off Lincoln, and it was absolutely hilarious. I was there with Will and Julissa, the owners of Wind Down Media, and a few friends. And it was such a huge success. I think it was like over 120 people were there with like over 15 comics who signed up. So signups are at 7, and there was like a ton of people. The lineup was absolutely
120 people.
Nice. I'm telling you, girl, it was mad. It was a madhouse, and it was a lot of fun though. I was laughing. My tummy literally got an ab workout by the time that I left there. It's 2 hours, so you're cracking up for a really long time.
Goodness.
And the jokes were all just like super original. It's kind of like what you see when you're watching like stand-up comedy on Netflix.
Yeah.
You know, and you start laughing, ha ha ha. They start picking on people in the audience. It was very much like that, and it was very hilarious. So that's going to be every Monday for anyone that wants to go. The kickoff was last Monday, or this last Monday, and that was a really good time. It was a nice way to kick off your week. Something to look forward to on Mondays now.
Mondays.
Yes.
Yeah, they shouldn't be so gloomy. So, el lunes no debe importar esta sonrisa. That's for darn sure. You know what I mean? It
of
shouldn't
course.
Be like, oh, that's a burden. Maybe on Fridays, I get a little, I'm going to tell you, my Mondays are Fridays.
Oh,
I get bombarded with work calls. I mean, it's really absolutely ridiculous.
I thought Fridays is the days that you're checked out because you're like, it's the weekend tomorrow.
No, I wish. I mean, I've said that on my like personal Instagram or whatever, but no. Nothing like a Friday Monday morning for me.
that's a little it is National Farmers Market Week.
There you
all
go.
Week.
Hey, look, wait, hold on, before I go into that farmers market thing, yesterday and the shirt I'm wearing today was National or International Cat Day. I don't like cats, but
oh,
you know.
Tampoco.
They said, okay, well, I We won't celebrate that, which is hilarious because I'm wearing a cat shirt today.
We won't celebrate it.
We won't celebrate, but we'll
dogs
just say.
Dogs are just so much cuter. You know, they're like super happy. They wag their tail as soon as you walk in the door. They're like, hey, how you been? You can snuggle with them. Cats are just like, leave me alone. And they're like, disappear. And I don't know. They cough up hairballs. And
quién sabe,
I don't know. I'm just like, you're a little rude.
We're 6 days away from school starting. So,
hey, did you know that I don't go to school anymore?
MVUSD. So, Napa Valley Unified School District is, you know, gearing up. I know Dra. Rosana Musetti is gearing up staff. There was a lot of juntas, and I believe there's going to be also a bienvenida for all of the staff that's coming back to American Canyon and also all of our schools here in Napa and Yountville.
That's really cool.
That is.
That's going to be exciting.
It's kind of like,
days.
I'm here. Vengan mis hijos.
Vengan mis hijos. Yeah, I know. I have Gabino's brother, Pablo, is going to be a senior this year, which is crazy because I remember when he was like a little sophomore and I was giving him advice. I'm like, when you're a senior, and now he's a senior, and I'm like, where did these last like 3 years go?
Right. Mine's going to be a junior.
Yeah, and the Metro graduated last year.
This last year. My nephew at Army Ohio School, Isaiah, he's going to be a senior, so he's also the quarterback for. So yay
for football because games.
Because he's a senior, he's gonna be like the star quarterback. Ese es mijo. So
ese es mijo.
No, I'll be seeing
you gotta
him.
Be proud of your nieces and nephews all the time.
Yeah, for sure. And like you were saying, National Farmers Market Week. For those that are listening and probably stay tuned to our second
probably no, I said I definitely show. Stay tuned.
Yeah, but our second not the conversaciones piece. I'm saying like the second show after us, the show after us. It's Farmers Market, and they pretty much tell you what's going on, cómo preparar comida, what's new, what's the hot stuff.
Health benefits, yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, it's a really good segment. It happens right after our show from 10 to 11. They constantly are bringing in new, I guess you could say farmers or growers, people that deal with, you know, natural, wholesome food on a regular basis. And they kind of teach you how to shop around a farmer's market and, you know, how to plate really good meals for, you know, cool finds. Because it's usually like a lot of seasonal stuff that you find at farmer's markets.
Noisy, we have the farmer's market here in Napa on Tuesdays and Saturdays from 8:30 to 1.
And then I know that St. Helena has theirs tomorrow. So for anyone, you know, whether you work in St. Helena or maybe you just want to go check it out, it's from 7:30 a.m. till 12 o'clock noon. They have this fantastic hummus guy there. It's so good.
Can't get away from the hummus guy.
No, mm-mm. I remember loving Farmer's
Market. Make him your new best friend.
Oh, yeah. I remember loving Farmer's Market when I was going to St. Helena High School back in my high school days. And
man, you're making it seem like it was so far back, girl. I'm
literally I want to say maybe in about 2 years, it's going to be like our 10-year anniversary. I'm like, excuse me, I'm how old already? It's a little bit of
youngins,
a trip when you think
these
about it.
These youngins. 10 years. Watch out.
Hey, 10 years is a lot. Don't be hitting on my 10 years.
Girl. 30. No, I'm just kidding. Kidding. Icalistoga has their farmer's market on Saturdays from 9 to 1. So, you know, if you ever miss one of the days when something local is going on, you know, take a drive up Valley. St. Helena, Icalistoga is not that far. And support our local growers.
Of course.
You know, and right now that we are National Farmer's Market Week, I actually participated in a... ¿Cómo se llama? Un grupo of UC Davis. We did kind of like an extension of, you know, how to grow your food, how you're going to raise it. It was pretty awesome. They did a segment on, like, chickens.
Oh, gosh.
And
the meat industry is horrible.
And so I was just kind of...
Unless you're raising your
sidelines. I'm watching this on the sideline. Much love to UC Davis and their poultry department or whatever the heck you want to call them. But you know what? It was really eye-opening. And it wasn't like disgusting or anything. It was more like I'm reserved.
My fingers in there.
Right. You do what you do. I'll go buy it. I'll put it on, you know, the frying pan. I'll put it on the grill. But yeah, I'll skip on being
dissecting it.
Yes, yes. I think I skipped that class in back in the day, and we're talking about like 30 years. Remember?
Uh huh.
So I'm yes, I'm skipping on that one. But it was really, it's eye-opening because we had people that sell at our farmer's market there, and the benefits of shopping locally. So a lot of people do wonder, like, oh my gosh, I'm buying a chicken, it's $9 when I can go to the grocery store and it's like $4, $6.
Yes, but the reason it's $4 is because you're probably getting some chicken that's been killed like 4 weeks ago.
Right.
That's already ready to go bad. Right. And that probably has a lot of, you know, it's eaten some things that it probably shouldn't.
Yeah, and it's really like...
like its own feces. Because that's a thing. When they confine those chickens in those rooms, you're stepping in it. All that bacteria is being created in there. Then they're pumping them with, you know, antibiotics so that it's killing all that bacteria. And then why do you think we get so many illnesses and people become immune to receiving antibiotics when they go to the hospital? Because your body's already getting so much of that from the fake little meat you're eating.
So, I mean, it goes... And what I'm doing actually for the benefit of the grower or... chicken farmer, whatever, you know, at the end of the day, they're really handling them with care since the beginning of life, and then they're actually, they go through rigorous inspections.
Our local farmers. Always
so
shop local.
USDA does a good job of setting up different rules for our local farmers, and there are, you know, maybe ellos no quieren lidiar with the whole slaughtering and all that, and then they send them to other facilities where they are slaughtered because they just want to take care of the food until it goes to the shelves. And there's other people that do it in-house, which is kind of cool. We got to see that process through UC Davis, which was absolutely amazing. I recommend anybody, you know, whenever you guys get a chance to actually visit that program that they have. But, you know, benefits of shopping at your farmer's market, of course, fresh fruits.
Comer
mejor. Porque what were we talking about last week about, like, beauty and
beauty,
what we put on our face and what we put on our system?
Of course.
Lo más barato is the easiest, which is like, oh, you know what, let me grab these $1.50 chips and, you know, you scarf them down. A couple minutes later, you're hungry again. And then we go into different rounds
exactly.
of unhealthy lifestyles.
Exactly. And if you think about it, like when you walk into a grocery store, there is actually like a healthy food section. So imagine if this is the healthy food section, then what is everything else that's in here? You know what I mean? It's like you have to take those things into consideration. And usually I learned this little trick when I did take a health nutrition class in college. You stick to the outside of the grocery store. That's where you're going to get, you know, your natural veggies,
right,
meats, all that stuff. And then everything on the inside is all the processed, sugary, heavily, like, soy preservative-based that is essentially like a lot of genetically modified food.
I'm thinking about that. You know, there are some setups. I'm thinking about one store in particular here in Napa that doesn't have that setup. I'd be like, on the outside, I think they got beer.
Well,
and that's just one. That's just one.
Hey,
you know what?
I am complaining about that.
But you know,
actually, I can't drink beer because I'm allergic. So yes, I am complaining about that.
So I'm just thinking about, and you know what? That's absolutely true. Everything in the middle, it's kind of like, meh. Should you go in? Should you not
Chips.
Go in? You know, I do get really discouraged. And speaking of food, I know you guys are gonna kill me. We're trying to get everyone to do kind of farmer's market type deal. But I actually subscribe to HelloFresh, and so we're kind of just doing this different process of eating at the house.
And that's good in terms of even just like portion control, because I think that's another thing, you know, that
I
mean, we could have a whole conversation on portion control and how that affects, you know, if you're trying to live a healthier lifestyle, whether it's losing weight or just, you know, trying to not overeat because maybe you're a stress eater, you know, and learning how to control the sizes of what you're putting into your body, because it's not so much, you know, don't eat chocolate, don't eat this, don't eat that, don't eat that. It's more so if you're gonna have it, have a piece of it.
Moderation.
Don't eat the entire cake.
Why? What do you mean I can't have the whole cake?
You can't have the whole cake. You can't have the whole cake. You don't have a whole bunch of other stuff that's followed,
you know,
by that.
Now that you're speaking cake, man, you're making me hungry. So speaking of cake, and this goes out to Miss Laura Vidal, shout out to her, because she introduced me to the most marvelous cake in the Filipino community.
Mm-hmm.
It's called ube.
Mm-hmm.
Viene siendo like a yam, but it's purple.
It's purple, yeah. They make ube ice cream at the ice cream parlor
die
in St. Mary's.
To die for. So, oh my gosh, anybody want to give me one, just one slice of ube cake? Hey, bring it on over.
Bring it on over, yes.
How did we get it from farmer's market into cakes?
I don't really know. No, but I really like farmer's markets just because a lot of the produce that they're selling you there is also very seasonal.
Yes.
And you know, the seasons do affect our bodies, obviously, you know, scientifically, whether it's with allergies or how you're feeling, just everything in general. So obviously the food that's grown in those times is also going to affect you. So when you shop at your local farmer's market, you're obviously getting a lot of the produce that's in season. You end up eating lighter fruits and veggies that you're supposed to during the spring and summer months. And then obviously heartier produce, such as like, I don't know, like squash or something, or some turnips, for example, for cooler fall and winter months. So I think that's always nice. You get to know this is what's actually supposed to be growing right now, not what, you know, somebody is trying to pump a whole bunch of extra additives into, you know, genetically modifying them so that they can last and be shipped and transported across the globe. And then now they have all these toxins and chemicals in them to make them last so that once they've been transported across globally, now you also have like 2 more weeks on the shelf life.
Oh, yes. So I know that you had some notes here with regard to like when you were shopping out of the country. And I, you know, my experience has been the same, where like
you shop
like in el mercado, you know, in Mexico. But you know what, your mandado is on a daily basis. You're always getting something. You cook what you're gonna eat, and you might have a little bit of leftovers, but you know, ya está cocinado, so it's good. And we get to talk a little bit more about, you know, la cocina mexicana y latina and how it's changed in conversaciones. But you know, you really think about, you know, should I be doing that? And here we don't give ourselves enough time to actually do the grocery shopping on a daily basis or for 2 days, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's fresh produce and, you know, you cook fresh that day.
And you're saving money because, right, you know, half the times in later, you go into your drawers and a lot of the vegetables that you have in there ya no sirven, you know, and then you're just like, well, that was money that I just wasted or something like that.
Well, that's exactly why I'm doing HelloFresh right now. It's just me and JJ, and unfortunately, we were throwing away our entire refrigerator, you know, at a week's time, maybe because I was buying, you know, sour cream, queso, leches de garrafón. You know, it's like, you know what? We just need to buy what we're going to use.
Yeah.
And HelloFresh gives you that
exact
portion.
The portions. Everything that you actually need, and they count it very well. And then sometimes you think like, oh, that's not going to be enough. And then you're surprised at how filling everything actually is.
Girl, I had peppercorn steak with a French mustard sauce. Mm. I'm like, when in my life was I ever going to cook something like that?
And they give you the ingredients,
yes,
instructions,
yes,
every step-by-step direction. It's phenomenal. No, but back when you were mentioning, you know, again, that whole traveling out of the country, that's when it really hit me to really think about, you know, here we, like you said, we buy a week's worth of time. Some people even go shopping like 2 weeks ahead of time, you know, and that's the wild part, because when you really think about it, your produce should not be lasting you 2 weeks long. Like, that is actually very bad. When I was living in Rome, I remember, you know, obviously very used to that Americanized way of shopping. And when I went over there, I remember buying a week's worth supply of food. And the very next day, I kid you not, a day went by. I went in to grab some tomatoes to make myself, you know, some scrambled eggs.
Mm-hmm.
All of them, pudridos,
yeah,
just completely with mold everywhere. And I was so mad. I was like, are you, you know, are you kidding me? Like, I just spent how much money on all this stuff? I'm like across the country trying to budget my money really well. And all my food's already spoiled. And that's when you have that moment of realization where food in other parts of the country is just completely different than food that's done here, you know. And over there, you're not going to find a lot of genetically modified foods that have preservatives in them that make them last longer. You're going to have real food. And that was the sort of moment of realization that I had when I was like, okay, a tomato is supposed to go bad, you know, within a couple of days from now. Not, oh, 3 weeks later, I reach into the fridge. Oh, look at this perfectly ripe red tomato that I've had in here for 3 weeks. That's not normal.
No, you see, no es normal. You know, when I went to Mexico, even the chickens, like I would look at them. You're so used to looking at pale chickens at the grocery store. You vas a Mexico and they're like super yellow, but de tanto maíz que comen, you know, it's all like natural. That's mm-hmm. what they're supposed to eat. They eat real corn and or the feed, and you're looking at them like, I don't want to eat that. It's so yellow. It's like, it doesn't look normal. But I mean,
but that's the real,
that's
fresh,
the real
kind.
One.
That's the crazy part.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, we get used to, especially when you go grocery store shopping, if you peel that and if you put that in comparison to, let's just say something again that you find at the farmer's market. The farmer's market produce is probably going to look a lot more vibrant and like glowing with color. And then you look at the, again, I'm going to just use the tomatoes for example. Aroma tomato is going to look a little bit more pale, a little less out of color. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I have noticed that.
It's like a softer red, kind of like a pale red, whereas like you go to a farmer's market and those like red tomatoes are pretty much about as red as the anteojos you're wearing right now.
I love, oh my gosh, heirloom tomatoes. Right now is basicamente the time for them.
Oh,
yes, they
so
are
good.
More expensive, but you
with
know
some
what?
Goat cheese when and balsamic drizzle and avocado.
Yeah. I'm telling you. See, we're getting
Who wants
hungry
to come
here.
Bring me stuff?
We're going to go to Whole Foods right now, ahorita saliendo.
Oh, my goodness.
Al farmer's market. ¿Dónde va a estar?
Is this Saturday? We still have to wait for Saturday unless you're in St. Helena tomorrow.
Oh, no, mañana, Santa Elena.
Yep. St. Helena starting at 7:30 a.m. I always used to go there and grab my hot chocolate in the morning with my chocolate croissant back in the day when I was able to eat that stuff, you know? It's okay. Other people can eat it for me.
Well, I do have to tell you that, you know, whenever you buy any fruits and veggies, please, please, please clean them. Mucha gente, like even I had this conversation yesterday. Someone was telling me, I brought back from Central Valley because I Central Coast. I did my little pit stops at the places that I used to work at, and I knew a couple of the farmers. So stopped, got some cherries, got some onions, aguacate. So everything really, really nice, freshly grown. But someone was telling me, they're like, "Did you? Oh my gosh, they come in this little package or whatever." I said, "Yeah, but this is picked into this package from the field," and they're like, "No, but this is like what they sell it in." I said, I understand that, but our farmers are picking exactly into the containers and they're putting it on the shelf. Mm-hmm. So it's really farm to your darn table. So yes, wash everything that you get.
Always.
Alguien me estaba diciendo sobre las fresas, but make sure that you want to eat them like right away, because once you wet any kind of berries,
yeah,
they spoil really,
they
really quick.
Yeah, only what I remember my mom teaching me that. Only like clean what you're gonna eat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't wash the whole container.
Hey.
Even though it feels a little bit more convenient to just put the whole container
right
underneath the faucet.
Because
you know,
it has the little holes in it. Yeah. Y la gente no malo lava. I'm like, you're just technically just keeping it.
Because if you're like me,
there.
I have like 5 strawberries in my hand trying to wash them in the sink and at least 2 of them fall and then I'm like, I ain't eating those. Oh, my sink probably has bacteria on it.
My goodness. Oh, my goodness. So, we want to support local economy because, claro, we want it to stay here. Tenemos a lot of our farmers overworked, underpaid. So, and this is something that
bringing
they're really
food to your table.
And they're really passionate and
they
really family
really
oriented. So, honestamente, you know, support your local. I know that some people say, well, some of the farmers aren't even from here. I know, but, you know, they can't get their product into possibly a Whole Foods. You know what I mean? Because there's so many of. So the competition is real. But then also, please support them because behind them también hay muchísima gente latina that's right behind them. So you're giving them also the opportunity of having another job here in the States.
Of course. And so, when you see, you know, a lot of our Latino brothers and sisters standing at the corners with their mangoes and their strawberries, that stuff's so good.
Yes, but be very, very careful with that stuff. So I'm always, you know, I support my Latinos all the time. One thing, though, we don't know where that fruit came from. It could be in nice, perfect packages. Se la puede haber robado. And so we don't know when it was sprayed. So there's no history behind it. We can't follow it through its tracks.
Is
if
there
anything happened
behind when you go to a grocery store?
So, like, say, for instance, if it has that tag on it, there is a tracing system on those fruits and veggies. So, por ejemplo, you buy, like, 3 or 4 nectarines and you eat them, makes you sick. Then, yes, you go to a grocery store, they can track, you know, maybe the lot number.
Gotcha.
So, yes, in organic, it's even, the tracking system is amazing that they can actually find it to, like, the leaf and who picked it.
That's
so, when
insane.
You go to, like, your local restaurants here in Napa or Santa Elena, they will tell you when it's really one of those restaurants that's fork to table, they can tell you who picked it and where it came from.
That's fantastic.
That is fantastic.
So if I get sick, I'm going to find you and fire you. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I will find you.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. So this is going to wrap up kind of our first little segmento that we were talking about, our national
Farmers Market Week. National Farmers Market Week. So make sure you're hitting up all your local farmers markets this week. Again, before we sign off, St. Helena every Friday starting tomorrow from 7:30 to 12. And then, of course, we have our farmers market right here over in the Century Center every Saturday from 8:30 to 1, and over in Calistoga from 9 to 1 as well on Saturdays.
Yeah, no se me olviden de Calistoga. Muy lindo y querido. So we just want to make a shout out to Calistoga, California.
California.
So please stay tuned for our second segment of Conversaciones. We're going to talk about Latino Mexican food and how it's kind of evolved from our roots. So we get to talk about a little bit of like different, you know, estados and kind of where our Mexican cuisine is going. I'm a little disappointed of kind of how it, where it's going, but we get to talk about, you know, that in our second segmento. So stay tuned. Hola, hola. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Feliz Jueves. If you're just tuning in, this is La Hora with Isela.
Y Gabriela.
On 1440 AM. We didn't really say this on the first segment, but hey, follow us on our Instagram page.
Of course, La Hora 1440.
KBON.
There you go. La Hora 1440 KBON.
Last week, we were like,
what is it again?
So this is our second segment of Conversaciones. We were talking about, like, we wanted to talk about Latino Mexican food and how it's evolved from our roots. I know, like, me and Gabriela, we kind of went into a quick discussion about, like, why are you disappointed? I'm like, you know, everywhere I go, like, los restaurantes, arroz y frijoles, I'm like, man, someone step up the game. And pongan un sazón, un segundo plato of something different. And, you know, Gabriela had a point that that's kind of how, you know, you grew up in Mexico, que a lo mejor siempre había arroz y frijoles. In my house, you know, I always feel that que arroz was, you know, occasional. Frijoles, yes. Nopales, all the time.
See, that's the exact opposite in my home.
And so I'm just kind of like, yeah, but if I go to a restaurant, I don't want that arroz and frijoles. Like, it's just, it goes to waste. And sometimes it's even, like, very bland, and it's just there to fill a plate. Really. Yeah. But anyway, that's not the reason why we're this segment.
I can see what you mean, but you know, like we said when we went on the break, you know, traditionally probably why so many Mexican restaurants sell arroz y frijoles with their, you know, main platillos is because traditionally in Mexico that's what's often at the dinner table, you know, and I know when I went to Mexico this last December, that's what was for breakfast every morning pretty much, arroz or at least frijoles with, you know, like un huevo estrellado with a sunny side up egg or something like that, or sometimes you'd mix the beans with la carne, with carne en su jugo. Oh, so good. But for the most part, like in my home, it was opposite. We didn't really eat that much beans, but rice, there was rice with your meal every single day. My mom loves rice. And if she was here, she'd be like, me encanta el arroz, you know?
Yeah.
It's like so much so that with every meal, it didn't matter whether she was making salmon, whether it was like barbecue ribs, like whatever it was, there you could bet for sure that there was going to be rice on the table.
You know, I mean, if we really go back into history, like there are so many platillos that, you know, my mom makes that unfortunately I don't have recipes for. I like them, but se tardan mucho. And really, I think esos platillos, at least for me and my generation, they're kind of going extinct. I do. Si, yo si cocino muy, muy rico. Si tengo buen sazón.
Are you like sure I'll about that? Do. I'm just kidding.
I swear. kids love the cooking, and it's always like, mom, haz enchiladas. Mom, haz pozole. Mom, do this. Mom, do that. And it's just, the list goes on and on and on. But then at the same time, it's like, what do we give ourselves time for? And how that's actually changing. And you had a perfect, you know, conversation for that. And that was, you know, estamos comiendo, you know, pescado que no era típico de, you know, de Mexico.
Yes.
Or de El Salvador.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so we're kind of preparing foods that are slightly infused Latino-wise, but, you know, it's kind of
not so much so.
It's more like convenience.
Of course,
I feel it.
Of course, yeah. And I think, you know, Latin Mexican food differs obviously by region. You know, there's a lot of different places in Mexico where you're gonna have different flavors and of how things are prepared and stuff. But then even here, you know, if we're talking about generationally speaking, like I'm first generation American, so I don't have the traditional deeply rooted like Mexican food. I didn't grow up with that. You know, I grew up with my mom cooking salmon, and we would make, you know, asparagus and broccoli, or like you know, filet mignon, stuff like that. Stuff that you don't really, you know, get when you're living in Mexico. Mexico is like a lot more, do we say basic food? Like how do I express this?
I have no idea. But let's think about cuisine. This started about 9,000 years ago. I mean, you're talking about Mesoamerica. You're talking about Mayans that first established it. And then you go into like Mesoamerica, which is then Olmec, Tolteca, Huasteca, Zapoteca, Mixteco, and all those. All those different groups, and I don't mean to exclude any of them, but all this kind of inspired what we see from like our moms, our grandmas, and it's like, oh my gosh, I just
the moles,
wish.
The chiles,
yes,
the salsas,
so many condiments,
yes.
And even then, todavía tenemos, creo que estaban diciendo like conquistas españolas, that, you know, la tortilla was kind of from them, y luego también están diciendo that, ¿qué era lo otro? Arabic, como los clavos, you know, oregano, all the nice floral scenty stuff came from overseas. And once it was introduced in Mexico, it's like, oh my gosh, we're never going back. So they do blame Aztec Empire for kind of doing many different food ways, for like el aguacate, el maíz, los tomatillos, la vanilla, el agave, like kind of like experimenting with all these different foods. And that's kind of like what exploded into this like amazing.
Oh my
platillo.
Goodness!
Excuse me,
I said pinches. Y lo dijiste otra vez.
I know. Excuse me, I said. Oh my goodness!
No, but they're delicious. What would you say is your favorite Latino dish?
Wow, that's really hard to pinpoint down. You know what? I have to say and what I make, el pozole blanco that we
Ooh, that's so good.
So we. It's transitioned from, you know, pork. I don't really eat a lot of pork. It's very rare. If anything, I'll eat it, like, at parties or, you know. Mm-hmm. But I don't have it in my refrigerator at all.
What do you like making your pozole with? Pollo?
Pollo.
I love pozole with pollo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's amazing. From there, las tostadas that we make con tostada raspada, which is a really, really thin tostada. They're coming into the States all of a sudden. I'm seeing them more and more on the shelves, which is pretty freaking awesome. And I don't know where that originated from. It was a Jalisco thing for me. Kind of, I saw that, but I don't know if it was from anywhere else, and we kind of copied that. So la raspada is basically when you go into you go get your tortillas at, you know, el mercado.
Yes.
You know, you see someone on the, what is that called? Metate. And they kind of just scrape that first layer.
Interesting.
And so then nada más queda el cascarón. And then you deep fry that, lo estilas, and then you have a raspada tortilla.
Oh, there you
go. Or tostada.
Tostada.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is freaking amazing.
Yeah, that probably go really good with some ceviche.
Yeah.
Oof.
Really, really good.
I love ceviche.
Why are we making each other hungry here?
You know what? We need a new rule. We're not allowed to talk about food on the show unless we come in with food already prepped. You know, or maybe we could do like somebody like a little sample tasting here, just letting everybody know over the air, like, I'm eating this right now and you wish you were here because it tastes so good.
You know what? Okay, now that you're actually saying that, I'm going to actually preset this up. Since we have Latino Heritage Month coming up, we should have a sampling of something. We'll, you know, brainstorm about it, and let's kind of set something up where, you know, people come here to the studio and show us what they got. That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, involve the audience. How many of you out there would like to come partake in some food taste? Basically, you're not.
How many would like
food
to partake?
You're making,
in
the
making
food,
me fat,
and then I'm eating it and letting you know how I feel about it.
Al rato, ube, pozole, enchiladas. Oh, my goodness.
I would be the happiest person. I love food so much.
No, you were talking about, like, our farmer's market. Y de allí también, el Mercado Libre de México.
Oh,
I mean,
huge.
All the fresh ingredients and all that. I mean,
hasta pan.
Sí.
You know, you walk around, there's, like, las ladies on the corner with their huge baskets. Yeah, their huge canastas just loaded with pan, freshly baked. Too.
Yeah.
And there's even some over there when I went this last December.
Los pollos amarillos.
Where they were. No, there was pan that was made out of maíz, all maíz. And so I was able to eat it. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like,
this is great.
This is fantastic. And it tasted good. It was just so moist. And it was just like, I know that word is a little weird sometimes. I was like, it's moist. But no, it was so good.
But she made it weird. It wasn't weird when she said it the first time. It was weird when she called it out.
I think that weird is that word's a little weird.
Oh my goodness. So we talk on and on and on about like where it started 9,000 years ago and how, you know, so many different
cultures
tenían una influence in nuestra cocina mexicana. So,
and that's something that Anthony Bourdain used to bring up a lot, you know, and like obviously rest in peace, Anthony Bourdain. But even just as I sit here, I can't help but keep thinking about him because he was just so great at that educational piece and about really telling you, you know, even though this is seen as Mexican food, for example, there's so much history behind it. And actually these people, you know, started it and it changed and transitioned and you know, something different once it got to this país and so on and so forth.
I know. We could talk. I mean, individually, we can go into different regions and just bring out the highlights. And maybe we can do that during Latino Heritage where we just pick a couple states, not leaving anybody out. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could divide Latino America into clusters and say, mm-hmm. like, what they kind of brought to the table, what they bring to the table. Not kind of, what they bring to the table. I mean, we think about something as easy como la horchata que tomas. We've had the worst horchata possible, and we've had, the best horchata. And it's like I always question this. I'm in Guadalajara and I'm strolling around. I see a palateria and they have aguas frescas there. Ooh. And whether it's like Jamaica, the piña, you know, horchata, but they always had the pink fresa horchata.
I've never had that.
No one has it here. No one makes it here. And I'm like, you know what? Bring it up a notch. I'm willing to taste it. There's also tejuino, which is actually like fermented maíz.
And interesting. That
comes from like, woof, long traits.
Yeah, I've never had that either.
And also they in Mexico le ponen like 2 scoops of nieve de limón, which is, you know, pretty much just de agua, you know, nieve de agua. And so, oh my gosh, it's so good because it's a salty, lemony,
tangy
fermented. I'll bring you some because I have a person.
Okay. Is there anything in it that I can't have?
I don't know. We'll talk about the ingredients later. But, you know, all these things, café de olla, the raw
café
sugar.
Café de olla, oh yeah. And raw sugar is huge over there. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's like everywhere outside of America, it kind of seems like food is a little bit more...
Noisy.
A little bit more special.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and healthier for you.
I know. Tequila, pulque, aguardiente, mezcal, charanda, brandy, wine, rum, beer. You know, all those things
tequila.
Have different flavors. And it's just like, oh my gosh, it comes from a different country. Está más sabrosa. I mean, no me gusta mucho la cerveza clara, but you know, going into your heartier beers, Mexico's kind of trying to tap into the business. But I have to be honest, I really do like our good eats. And it's sometimes it's disappointing when you go somewhere and it's like, meh.
It wasn't what it's supposed to be like.
Yeah.
Whether traditionally or just even flavor wise.
You know where I have to go sometimes? I have to go to Berkeley to a specific restaurant so they can give me what I want. You know, I want it to taste like this and I know I'm going to get it. And so later I'll do the shout out.
O lo puedes cocinar.
Oh, that too.
You know.
You know, but I'm not going to do a big old pozole pot, you know, for myself. Because,
no,
you know.
You can do a big old pozole pot and then invite me over and I'll probably finish the rest.
Yeah, because you know what I do like.
No pressure.
Pero me gusta el nixtamal like fresco. Like I can't do the canned stuff. When I do the canned stuff, it's like, It's okay.
I think for me, one thing, you know, like we've been talking about like Mexican food, but obviously, you know, like I'm Latina, but I'm not 100% Mexican. I'm also Salvadorian. And for me, it was also...
Girl, you can make some pupusas. Can you make some pupusas?
No, I can't.
Oh, my goodness.
Where I was going with this is I'm like, I get so sad because my mom's like Salvadoreña, like straight up from El Salvador. You know, she lived there till she was about like 19. And I'm like, how do you not know how to make pupusas, mom? Like, you were at an age where you could learn it and remember it.
I know.
And she was like, I was never allowed in the kitchen at my house. And she's just like, and I think that's so sad because I wish that she knew how to make them so that I could learn because I love them so much.
They're,
I would love to know how to make them.
Delicious.
My favorite spot, obviously San Francisco has great pupuserias, but then there's this spot over in Vallejo. Oh, I love going to that spot in Vallejo. They're really good over there.
Man, I know a house in American Canyon. You ain't got to go that far. Cecilia Bermudez, because she is amazing. Salvadoreña, too.
Salvadoreña, yeah.
She's my mom's comadre.
Oh, there
my
you go.
God, to die for. You know, and it's hard that once you get the home-cooked meal, that you go to the restaurant, you're kind of like, oh, my God. You're licking your lips. You hungry? You hungry?
I'm so hungry right now. It's not even funny.
Oh, man. Oh, gosh. Hablando de las cosas que nos encantan, especialmente la cocina mexicana or latina. I get it. Traditional arroz frijoles, okay. But make them good. If you're going to come to the table, make some good rice and beans. If you're going to offer it with un platillo to highlight, mm-hmm. you know, how good the main dish is.
Oh, my gosh.
Is.
My stepmom will make unos frijoles and then mix in some chorizo. Oh, I've never had that before. And when she made it one time, I was like, you need to make your frijoles like this every time.
Yeah.
And then especially with un poquito de queso.
My grandma makes them mean.
Like,
frijoles.
I think they're called frijoles charros or something like
yes.
that.
Yes.
So good.
Yes.
So good.
Yes.
I love when she gets down in the kitchen because I like looking, you know, and being like, all right, I'm going to learn stuff from you and I'm going to learn how to cook traditional Mexican food.
Right. I'm sitting here like, okay, I'm going to go cook and then I'll go home and be like, hello, Fresh, you're here. Oh my gosh, we're having so much fun, and I'm sorry, but this ends our segmento conversaciones of La Cocina Latina and how it's kind of evolved. But anyway, we'll bring this highlight back again in Latino Heritage Month, which is coming up in, what is that, a month away?
Next month, September.
I know, pero ya mero. Okay, so please stay tuned for our third segment. We got some happenings in our town, so please stay tuned for La Hora with Isela
y Gabriela.
Gabriela. Echo. Hola, hola.
Hello.
Welcome back. This is La Hora with Isela.
Y Gabriela.
On 1440. Don't forget, KVON.com. Also, live streams us. And we do have an Instagram page at
La Hora 1440 KVON. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, there you go. So I think we didn't even post this last week. I didn't post anything this last week. I'm very, very sorry.
I'm very, very sorry.
But hey, this is our last segment. You are so late. You missed a wonderful, wonderful conversacion where we were talking about Latino Mexican food and how it's evolved.
We would have made you hungry.
Yeah, we would have made you hungry. And then before that, we were talking about farmers market and all the good eats that are available to our community. So hey, we have a couple of cool events that are going on. Napa Town and Fair Peace, Love, and Life started yesterday, and it will run from yesterday to the 12th. And tickets are for sale at your local McDonald's. And I think they have that like wristband thing, mm-hmm. so it's like unlimited rides or whatever. Prices range between $13-$10. So don't forget.
Unless you're getting a wristband.
Yes.
That's about like $35.
Right. Also, Matli va a venir a la feria. Get your tickets while they're hot, mi gente, August 12th.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah,
also, the LGBTQ Youth for Sonoma joined the youth leadership team. They're always doing amazing stuff. Ian, the director over there, is absolutely fantastic. So do this ASAP if you want to make a difference by creating events. Go ahead and follow their link on Instagram, LGBTQ Sonoma, or there's also LGBTQ Napa.
I believe that Santa Rosa is having their 9th annual. And look, we're setting this up already because we're trying to get you guys to as many events as possible. So Santa Rosa, the 9th annual Fiesta de Independencia, with authentic Latino food, music, games, a lowrider car show, and fun for the whole family, including piñatas. Hey, watch out for those flying sticks.
Look at that.
I know, from 1 to 7. That's hella on a Sunday.
Latinos like to party.
Yes, and guess what? It's free.
Gratis. Luther. You know how we feel about gratis.
Right, free. So there is no excuse for you not being able to go over there and just, ay, es que voy a gastar en gasolina. Ay, ay, ay. No vayas a querer que te pague el tanque, too. So anyway, that ain't going to happen. Get your butt over there because we got to represent. So Luther Burbeck Center for the Arts at 50 Mark West Springs Road, Santa Rosa. If you want more info, go to 707-546-3600. So, para que me entiendan en español, va a haber una fiesta de independencia con comida latina, música. Van a tener un car show, un show de carros de lowriders también para toda la familia. Va a incluir también piñatas de la 1 a las 7 un domingo. Este va a ser en septiembre. O sea que el 16 de septiembre, para que me entiendan, va a ser en Santa Rosa, en el centro de Luther Burbank.
Oh, yeah. And again, once again, I said this at the beginning, but huge shout out to Hank Hardister for his new comedy club show right here at Compadres, happening every Monday. So if you're super into comedy and you want to join that, go ahead and check it out every Monday. Signups are at 7. So if you're looking to be a part of the comedy lineup, maybe you want to test your skills. We had a couple of first timers this last Monday, and they actually did really well. Go ahead and show up by 7 p.m. The show kicks off at 8. So, you know, you'll have about an hour to sign up, and then it goes from about 8 to 10. It's a lot of fun. You got $5 margaritas, so you're drinking, having a good time. Unos antojitos, like some guacamole. Trust me, you'll want to be there. So check it out this upcoming Monday. It's going to be a ton of fun.
You were saying margaritas. I looked this up during the week. Margaritas were invented in 1938. Talk about iconic drink, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Anyhow, so again, setting up the stage for our Latino, not just Heritage Month, it's Heritage Months. So there's also going to be a concert, Aida Cuevas. Oh, my God. Beautiful voice. The name of this event is called Totalmente Juan Gabriel. So it is a singer's tribute to her mentor, and it is going to start at 8 p.m. October 4th with the pre-show discussion at 7. So it will be on a Thursday. Tickets are going from anywhere from $39 to $59. Again, this will be at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts, again, at 50 Mark West Springs Road, Santa Rosa.
Perfect. And then Boys to Men is coming to Sonoma State.
I should be in the background.
There you go. So super iconic R&B group in music history. Coming to our very own local Sonoma State, August 16th from 6:30 to 9:30. They're going to have a little pre-party that includes some bubbles, which is my favorite.
Kind of bubbles? Bubble bath?
Nah. I'm talking about the kind that you drink. And that's obviously, you know, an additional package with your ticket. So a general admission tickets tend to start off at $40. If you want some more information, definitely visit the website. It's gmc.sonoma.edu/events.
There you go. Man, I'm already over here like slow dancing to my jams, and you don't even know what I'm singing, but I make love. There you go. Dicho of the week.
As always, how we like to wrap it up.
You are what you eat.
Eres lo que comes, chica mami.
So, me comí un durazno. I'm a nice little round peach today. Speaking of farmer's market.
Oh, there you go.
So please stay tuned after the show porque tienen una buena plática para ustedes. And of course, please, again, like we said, it is National Farmer's Market Week, so please go visit your local farmer's market. Y también quede viva esa cocina latina. Okay?
Amen, amen.
So hasta la próxima. With you was La Hora with Isela.
Y Gabriela.
On 1440. See you next week.